Meanwhile, Christopher Robin had set off on a tour of the forest to ask if anyone had seen the bees. He started in the boggy place that was home to Eeyore.
"Lost your way, Christopher Robin?"
"No, Eeyore, I came to see you."
"That's very kind of you. Of course I do have other visitors from time to time. A week ago, last Thursday, there was this hedgehog. But hedgehogs, well, they've not got much small talk. One does one's best. How are the prickles, I ask?" "Much the same," they say. And then the conversation dries up.
"I came to ask you something, Eeyore. Have you seen any bees? They've gone missing."
"Oh, they have they? Well, they haven't come here. They've swarmed, I expect. That's what bees do. The grass is always greener on the other side of the forest. Would have swarmed myself years ago, but it's not the sort of thing one can do on one's own."
"Oh, Eeyore, thank you. You've been such a help."
"Really?"
asked Eeyore to Christopher Robin's retreating back.
"You're not just saying that. Glad to have been of service if I was, and if not, think nothing of it. Come again in a year or two."
"Owl," said Christopher Robin a short time later, "we're looking for the bees."
"They'll be in the hollow oak," said Owl.
"We thought so too, but they really aren't, and Eeyore thinks they may have swarmed to somewhere else. Owl, I was wondering, if you were to fly over the forest, you might spot them, then hoot for us to come over."
"Indeed," conceded Owl.
He really wanted to say something else, only Christopher Robin seemed to have covered it already. Pausing only to exercise his wings with a few loosening flaps, off Owl went. He flew east into the sun, which made him blink, south to where he could see his shadow flying beneath him on the chalky slopes of the downs, west to where the woozle wasn't, and where the bees weren't either, and then back north to where he had started from. Everywhere there were trees and rolling grass and little insects, none of which were bees. He was considering giving up and going home to a mug of cocoa and a digestive biscuit when he saw what at first he took to be a bundle of bracken in a bush, or maybe a pile of old leaves rolled along by the wind into a place from which they could roll no farther. Owl thought to himself,
"Maybe,"
and then,
"It might be,"
and then,
"It is."
He hooted his loudest hoot, and Christopher Robin, hearing him, climbed onto his bicycle and tinkled the bell. Pooh balanced himself in the bicycle basket and directed Christopher Robin all the way to where Owl was hovering on a friendly current of air. Sure enough, in a bramble bush right underneath Owl was what might have been a bundle of bracken or a pile of old leaves, but was neither of those things. Pooh's eyes opened very wide.
"Bees," he cried, "thousands and thousands of them."
"Oh, Pooh," said Christopher Robin, one foot on the ground to steady the bicycle, "aren't they grand?"
"Should I ask them to come home?"
asked Pooh. "You could try."
"Bees,"
cried Pooh. The bees buzzed a little louder.
"Bees."
The buzzing of the bees grew not just louder, but angrier, and one of them landed on Pooh's nose. "I don't think this is working, Pooh. We shall have to think of something else," said Christopher Robin.
"I can only think of honey," said Pooh sadly, "and having none."
He blew the bee off his nose. They moved away from the swarm and then stopped to think. "Perhaps they don't like our voices," suggested Christopher Robin.
"I can't help being growly," said Pooh. "I'm a bear."
"We could play them some music," said Christopher Robin. "The homecoming waltz, perhaps. I'll go and get the gramophone." But the bees ignored the homecoming waltz, and when Christopher Robin played God Save the King, the buzzing became very fierce indeed, and Pooh said,
"Maybe it should be God Save the Queen."
But they didn't have that.